quite concerned because, we've already heard, on primary night, Carrie Lake was already suggesting that some kind of fraud had occurred just because the votes weren't coming in for her as early as she would have liked.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we take a trip out of the Northeast to one of the key battlegrounds in American politics. Goldwater, McCain, the end of American democracy? New York Times Magazine reporter Robert Draper has been taking a close look at Arizona and the state of conservatism there, where former President Donald Trump's big lie about the 2020 election continues to reverberate. So what can Arizona, which barely went for Joe Biden last election, tell us about the future of the GOP and American politics? Draper joins us now. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Ian.
What got you interested in looking at Arizona in the first place?
Sure. I had been researching a book that'll be coming out this October, in fact, about the current state of the National Republican Party. And I gravitated to Arizona because, as you know, it became a pivotal state in the 2020 election. It was the first swing state to be called by Fox News against Trump and led the path toward his defeat. You'll recall as well that Trump insisted that the election was stolen from him, that the results in Arizona were bogus, and a chorus, a Greek chorus in Arizona went along with that. The first Stop the Steal rallies were in Arizona. This post-election audit took place there as well. And so it's kind of been ground zero for election denialism. That was my first point of interest. And the second was that I had learned while traveling to Arizona how the grassroots had essentially taken over what had been the party of John McCain. And so I wanted to investigate just who these grassroots activists were and what their belief system was.
And what did you find? Is the animating idea mainly that, Trump should have won the state and another term, or is it deeper than that?
It's deeper and broader than that, Ian. It's basically that the left has stolen from Arizona conservatives and others like them, their whole way of life, the America that they know. And so, yes, that does include, but it's hardly limited to, stealing an election. It means as well that they have stolen jobs, that they are trying to replace the electorate with illegal citizens coming in from across the southern border who will then change the electorate and with that the demographic makeup of the country. So it's really this kind of existential anxiety reflected in these conservative Arizona voters and very, zero sum. To hear, for example, a gubernatorial nominee from that state, Carrie Lake, describe it. She says, this is a choice between good and evil. And so those are essentially terms of war. And that is very much how the grassroots views the current state of play in America.
I'm glad you brought up Carrie Lake. She is fascinating to me because she used to be a news reporter in this market where I'm speaking to you from, watching from afar her transformation to someone who rails against the media is pretty alarming, to be honest. What does she portend in Republican politics in Arizona and elsewhere?
Well, I think you have it right regarding Carrie Lake. She's a fascinating character. She is a very, very polished political performer, owing to her years of experience in front of the television cameras. So she cuts a very smooth figure. And you're right as well that her transformation is an ideological one as well. She donated to the 2008 campaign of Barack Obama. But by 2021, she was, as a former White House, Trump White House communications director described it, a total Trump fangirl. And so the kind of bias that she claims she left the media, she very much embodied herself. Her views are very extreme, to say the least. She not only believes that the election was stolen, she believes that mask mandates are criminal. She believes that God has been taken out of the schools and replaced with drag queens. These are actual, slogans of hers. And so it's a very, very hard line, sort of Trumpism on steroids point of view that she has. And she was endorsed by Trump, I should say, just hours after she wrote on Twitter that she believed that Trump's likeness should be carved into Mount Rushmore, if that gives you any idea of, as to her allegiances.
Well, Barry Goldwater obviously was generations ago in American politics, but, you know, he was seen as too conservative, too far right. Do you see that this brand of new Arizona Republican politics, you know, is working?
Well, there's the million-dollar question, right? And it will be settled, at least for the most part settled, this November the 8th at the midterm elections. Because the question is, for a swing state like Arizona, and that indeed is what Arizona is. After all, its two U.S. senators are Democrats. It went for Biden in 2020. The state legislature, both in the House side and the state Senate side, are controlled by the Republicans, but only by a single vote. So given all of that, you would think that the Republican Party would be trying to widen its appeal, and yet they've done precisely the opposite. They've doubled down with ultra-conservatism, and furthermore have decried, really basically blacklisted, those in their party who they believe are too moderate. They term them, of course, rhinos, Republicans in name only, and that includes John McCain. Goldwater, by the way, I should mention, was viewed as an extremist himself, like you're indicating, but was socially tolerant, too. His wife was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood, or the Arizona chapter of Planned Parenthood. So we'll see, you know, if in a very swingy state where there have been lots of demographic changes over the last decade, whether this brand of right-wing politics can appeal to a general electorate.
Let's talk more about John McCain. Your article traces how McCain and his legacy have been largely disavowed now by the current Republicans in Arizona. You know, it wasn't too long ago that he was the head of a national ticket in 2008. What happened?
Well, you know, what happened was a kind of a slow train coming in. And the truth was is that his grip, McCain's grip over the state Republican Party, was never as strong as it appeared. Because he was, you'll recall that he had described leaders of the Christian right as, quote unquote, agents of intolerance. He was very much for a comprehensive immigration bill and had a much more welcoming attitude towards undocumented workers, wanted a path of citizenship to them than the far right liked. He expressed a kind of tolerance towards same-sex marriage later in his career. And so by 2014, his own state party censured him. And at around that time, they began to move the party structure away from him, began to fill precinct committee slots with people, with grassroots activists from the right. And so now here we are in 2021, when McCain's widow, Cindy McCain, was censured as well by the state party, as was today's sitting governor, Doug Ducey, a Republican and everybody else's idea of a conservative, but for one single thing, which was that he refused to overturn the election results. And so, I mean, that is, you know, McCain, it's not like McCain's ideology changed over the years, but he was always viewed with suspicion as not, a true conservative warrior in the view of the far right.
Another part of your story focuses on this idea that America is not a democracy, it's a republic. And many of the activists and local officials are echoing that claim. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Ian, because that was the most startling thing that I encountered during my many travels to Arizona over the past year, and particularly in the weeks preceding the August 2nd primary, that I go to all of these conservative citizen groups, candidate forums, et cetera. And from activists as well as politicians up and down the ballot, I would hear them proactively volunteer their view that we are not a democracy, we are a constitutional republic. And they weren't doing this to win some scholarly point. They were doing it to cast a harsh spotlight on what they believed was an offending object. Now, it's worth remembering that the word democracy was used by President Trump at his rally on the Ellipse on the morning of January the 6th, 2021, no fewer than four times. He kept talking about how this was their last-ditch attempt to save democracy. So if you posit, you know, if you conclude from that whole experience that it didn't work, then the view from these Arizona conservatives is that democracy has become a dirty word. The concept has been weaponized against, quote unquote, everyday Americans. And as some of these activists described it to me, democracy connotes mob rule. It means that if 50% plus one voter achieves a majority, then they can take your property. They can completely control the school curriculum. They can control the borders, et cetera. And so, I've been covering conservative politics for a very long time, well over two decades. I've never heard anything like that. And again, expressed so frequently and so proactively.
So how concerned are you about the sanctity of future elections in that state?
Well, quite concerned because, we've already heard, on primary night, Kerry Lake was already suggesting that some kind of fraud had occurred just because the votes weren't coming in for her as early as she would have liked. The Secretary of State candidate, Mark Fincham, was also saying to me, everything is suspect right now. So they're setting the stage basically for a general election where if they don't prevail, they're going to say it got stolen from them. Even if they win, they'll probably say that there was fraud, but their people came out in such overwhelming numbers that they managed to sort of, compensate for that fraud. I don't know where it ends. I mean, it's not as if it's not very likely that Fincham, Lake, and others on the Trump-endorsed slate of Republican candidates in Arizona are going to, one day say, come to think of it, the 2020 election was perfectly legit. It wasn't stolen. That viewpoint is now, bred in the bones of a huge swath of the Arizona conservative electorate. They believe it, even if Kerry Lake and Mark Fincham disavow it. So I don't know how there's any turning back. I really don't. It's a cause of great concern when the losers of an election can simply say it was stolen from me, and so many people will believe it.
So it occurs to me to ask then about the state of the Democratic Party in Arizona. How is it engaging with the Republican dynamic you've described here and reported on? I mean, are elections being described in sort of apocalyptic terms on both sides now?
No, not exactly. I mean, certainly we hear pretty much every election cycle from both sides that this is the most important election of your lifetime. But I have not heard Democrats speak in the stark terms that we are hearing from Arizona Republicans that this is good versus evil, the sort of quasi-apocalyptic rhetoric that would suggest that the end of the world is near if you don't vote for the chosen party. So in a lot of ways, Democrats are representing, not just a real difference from Republicans, but a real difference from this kind of dire viewpoint. And I should say as well that there are a number of Republicans who have voiced that as well, who said the 2020 election was not stolen. The problem is they haven't fared so well electorally. There's a reason why Governor Doug Ducey decided not to run for the U.S. Senate, despite Mitch McConnell wanting him to. It's because he knew that Trump would come after him because he, Ducey, had declared that the 2020 election results were legitimate. There's no room in the Republican Party, at least no electoral gain for that viewpoint, unfortunately.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, I think that, the hope among so-called establishment Republicans like Doug Ducey is that if Kerry Lake, Senate candidate Blake Masters, Mark Fincham all lose on November the 8th, they can then say to their fellow Arizona Republicans, you guys had your little experiment here with, a slate of far-right candidates. It didn't do us any good at all during a midterm year that should have inured to the benefit of Republicans. Instead, we lost all these winnable seats, and we have no one but ourselves to blame. So, grow up, guys. It's time for the adults to get back in charge. That is the hope that I've heard mainstream Arizona Republicans voice over and over. But that presupposes that Lake and the rest of them lose. And you know, almost every one of these races is, you know, at the top of the ballot, is going to be a really close race. And the cross currents politically relating to the economy, relating to a bunch of different things, are quite complicated. So so we'll have to see how it turns out. But that's really the that's the best case scenario for Republicans, for establishment Republicans, that they lose winnable seats.
Well, you can read Robert Draper's dispatch from Arizona in the New York Times Magazine. Robert, thank you for taking the time to speak with us, and thank you for your reporting.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.